We got some clarity on what we thought was going to be a legit quarterback competition in training camp. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. A lot of news coming out of these training camps, Pearl. And when it relates to the quarterback, of course, we're going to be all over it. And it ties in nicely with something that we are calling one big quarterback question.
I feel so lucky to be the quarterback.
It's the position everyone wishes they could play.
Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
Sit down and shut up.
But it's not for the faint at heart.
Quarterbacks are premium.
I think those things add up to make it quarterbacking the toughest job in sports.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, yesterday got a little heated when EJ asked us if Jalen Hurts was a top 10 quarterback. That one got people upset.
Yeah, my parents had to disown you for saying mean things about their quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
Not Tom and Carol.
Oh, yeah, you're not invited to Thanksgiving anymore. I'm so sorry.
Oh, what can I do to get back in their good graces between now and then? I have to brainstorm. But
no
today,
cheesesteaks for Maggie.
I'm devastated. Truly. Let's get to the second big quarterback question. EJ, it's one of the Eagles' biggest rivals.
Yes, let's go to the New York Football Giants.
Why?
Camp opened recently, and Brian Daboll was recently asked about the quarterback competition. Is there any chance that Russell Wilson won't start?
These guys will be out here competing, but Russ is our starter.
So I'm asking you guys the question here. Is there a quarterback competition in New York, and do you believe that Russell Wilson will be the Giants' starter this season?
I believe the man. Why would Brian Daboll didn't stutter there? It's going to be Russell Wilson. I mean, honestly, I think Russell Wilson backed up by Jameis Winston headed into the season, because I don't think Jackson Dart, there's no way he's going to be close, because he came out of a Lane Kiffin offense in college. We all knew he was developmental. Why would you throw him in against the hardest schedule in the NFL? Why would you throw him into this? I think we were unrealistic, anyone who thought Jackson Dart was going to play early, like especially week one.
Okay, so week one, I think it's probably going to be Russell Wilson. I'll grant you that, but I do not believe that Russell Wilson is going to be the starter for 17 games this season, and I don't think Jameis Winston is going into the season as the backup, quite frankly, because Daboll yesterday did open the door for Dart to win the backup role. And anyone who thinks it's an actual not weighted competition to who's going to be QB2 is fooling themselves, in my opinion, because so many people's jobs are riding on Jackson Dart being a success. So I've already told you guys, I'm on record. I think Jackson Dart's first start in the NFL is Sunday, October 5th at New Orleans. Knowing a little bit about the Giants, I think they like to start rookies on the road. Manny, why are you looking at me like that?
Is that week five?
Week five, Sunday, October 5th against New Orleans.
I don't know. Seems a little early, but continue.
Yeah, well, I'm calling my shot, because I saw what they did with Daniel Jones, where they actually, no one thought he was going to replace Eli Manning in week two of that season, or week three, I believe it was, against Tampa Bay on the road. And the Giants also replaced Kurt Warner with Eli Manning and did that much earlier than anyone thought.
I think they did week 10 or 11.
It was I thought it was nine games in. And
they're 5-4, as I recall.
They had a winning record, and it didn't go over well in the locker room. They do this, the Giants. They shoehorn these guys in sometimes when it's a bit earlier than you think. Even if it was week 9, week 10, whatever, with Eli Manning, who cares? They were going to be a playoff team, and they put Eli in, and Eli's record that season was 1-6.
No, he did.
He won one. 1-6, and they didn't make the playoffs. And guys were ticked off.
Well, here's the thing. They need to make Jackson Dart look good, right?
Yeah.
So I know you're penciling this New Orleans game. Because, at New Orleans, that's probably a W. But coming right off of New Orleans, you got Philadelphia, number one defense in the league last year. Then at Denver, probably the number one defense in the league this year. Then at Philadelphia, number one defense in the league last year. That's not what you want. You do not want Jackson Dart. Yeah, you get him in New Orleans. Can you then pull him real quick and throw Russ back in and then bring Jackson Dart? Well, they want to make Jackson Dart look good. Unfortunately, their schedule is brutal. I think they have to wait till later. In fact, I will do a show bet that it's closer to December than week five. I agree. It's not going to be Russ unless they are really good. And if they're not destined for the playoffs, they do have to go to the young guy. I think it'll be later on, just because they want to make him look good and they want to get him ready. And I think they're afraid week five would be throwing him into the fire a little bit too early. Not radically.
Okay. Same thing they would have said about Daniel Jones, but again, they did that. And here's the other part where it's just a bit unfortunate for the Giants as they're trying to do this delicate dance about when do you get the first round quarterback in without killing his confidence, literally getting him killed maybe because your offensive line, who knows, it's the Giants, their offensive line has always been sus. They don't have their bye week until week 14.
Yeah.
It's a super late bye. So here's the other factor that was not a factor they had to think about when Eli Manning was a rookie and was not even really a factor when Daniel Jones was a rookie. It hadn't gotten this bad where, yes, the Giants have this really tough schedule. They start at Washington, at Dallas, home Kansas City, home Chargers.
0-4, baby.
And you know what's going to happen? People are going to stop showing up to the stadium. This is not one of those franchises where they're going to pack the house no matter what. And I think that John Mara, the owner of the Giants, is going to look at that and say, we need a reason for people to get excited and actually come to the ballpark, come to the stadium. And that's why they will fast track Jackson Dart.
I don't think this is 0-4, by the way.
Stop.
I mean, first of all, I don't think at Washington there's anything. That's going to be an NFC East battle, a who knows situation. I don't think at Dallas is impossible either. And then I think the Chargers in on the East Coast, that's a different animal altogether.
It is a 1 o'clock start, yeah, that like Chargers. The Kansas City game is primetime.
Dallas and if you're afraid of Dallas and Washington, then you should be really afraid of the second half of the schedule, Manny.
What do you got, 3-1 then?
Not 3-1, but no, I don't think they go into that game 0-4. I totally agree, by the way, about the relevancy. The problem is, if Jackson Dart comes in and is terrible, then you have nothing to turn to then.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Manny, do you mind doing something? Fade the music down if you don't mind, because we have a clip from yesterday. Now, listen, we're doing this just to be funny. We're not taking anything serious from this. We're just going to play the audio for you because it's rare that we get a play from training camp that elicits this type of response from the people and crowd that was watching. So yeah. Here's Jackson Dart at training camp. Unfortunately, throwing a pick six, and you're going to hear the crowd.
Yeah, that's great.
So audible.
This is going to be great.
Threw a touchdown on his next pass.
He did. Resilience.
That, by the way, was his first pass.
You said Brazilians?
He threw a touchdown on the next pass.
Resilience. Yes. I thought I heard Brazilians. I'm sorry.
No, Brazilian butt lifts. We'll get to that.
One thing about, you mentioned Daniel Jones. As I recall, Daniel Jones came from David Cutcliffe at Duke. Like, he ran a pro style. Like, this is, I know there's everybody runs a verse of the spread, but like, Jackson Dart coming into the draft was not considered ready. So that's why I would, they have to be very careful. If they put him in week five against New Orleans, and listen, I'm not betting my house against you. You've been pretty adamant about this. You've kind of convinced me. That is, this is going to be dicey. Like, that interception we saw in camp, if that's the first pass against, now that Honey Badger's gone, I probably cannot name the defensive back there. Is Lattimore healthy? Yeah, I think that's dangerous. Like, what if he goes in week five and he just gets lit up, four interceptions? Then where are you as a franchise? Who's coming out? That's a road game. His next home game, I mean, that could be over. They could fire Dable in week eight if this didn't work.
Well, I mean, those guys are kind of staring that down, aren't they?
I think that's why they're going with the veteran, because they want to win some of these games. I think that's why they're going with Russ, who, by the way, did not look great in the little clips. Underthrew Malik Nabers by about 14 yards on the one play that was going around Twitter. But who knows?
I think this is the problem. Yeah. This is why Giants ownership is not good and they deserve to be criticized. It's because they've set up now this sort of all or nothing season for their coach and GM when they are not an all or nothing team.
Yeah,
they're a developmental team. The quarterback, you're just saying, is needs work. He's a project.
Listen, they made the playoffs with Daniel Jones. They won a playoff game, so I think ownership is living off that and saying, Brian Daboll, you're a good coach. You can get this going. Their defense could be sick.
Yep.
So they could defensive win with line. This crazy defensive line as long as you don't run on them. And the problem is, if they're bad, I mean. Here's a real problem that makes no sense to me. Say they're top five. I mean, they're drafted a quarterback next year. So you made Jackson Dart the first round pick this year. If he's not good, which he will not be if he gets it too early, then you're going to be behind Cade Klubnik next year. So what are we doing? Like, what are we doing as a franchise?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You're asking the exact question the Giants fans are asking.
I mean, there are a lot of, by the way, I don't understand why the Browns took two quarterbacks and now everyone's saying they're drafting a quarterback next year. You got, and why the Saints are going to Tyler Shuck when they're drafting a quarterback next year. It's a very confusing time for rookie quarterbacks. That class is weird, right? Like, all these situations are odd. Like, you're tanking, but you have a young quarterback. So what are the Giants doing? But you actually, sorry, real quick, said the Giants, you saw a scenario where they were playoff. You know, I kind of took that from you.
What's that?
That the Giants are a playoff team, possibly.
No, I think there's a playoff mandate, which is weird, or close to it from the owner.
Do you see, if you squint, can you see the Giants working out?
It's just that the schedule is so brutal. I mean, it's, they just got some, nothing is really working with them. There's no wind at their back, you know? Like, sometimes you need a little luck or you just need something to break. Like that first season that everyone talks about where Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year and they were great and they won a playoff game. Do you know how lucky they got in some of those games? I mean, well, they won games, guys. The opponents were missing game-winning field goals. Like, there were a few things that really broke right. And everyone also thought that Minnesota Vikings team was not a legit quarter. Like, their record was so much better than the actual team. So even who they beat in that playoff game was a little, you know, dicey. And this, nothing is, no wind at their back this time around.
But also, too, sometimes teams with young running quarterbacks win games on their legs. I mean, Daniel Jones's legs were the main weapon that year.
Totally.
So I think sometimes you can, like, Vince Young reach the playoffs with the Titans when he really wasn't a good quarterback because he could run like crazy.
So we're doing one big question about the quarterback, one a day until the kickoff of the season, which is going to be September 4th, and that's going to be Eagles and Cowboys. What's funny, though, about today's question was obviously about Jackson Dart, because we're doing the Giants. Cam Ward, like, getting no pressure. It's so funny. He's the number one overall pick in that class.
Got every rep yesterday. Apparently, the backup didn't even get a single first-team rep.
Well, Will Levis is now out with a season-ending
shoulder surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. So who is the backup?
Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle are there, and maybe they'll bring in somebody else. But Cam Ward, first of all, he was going to start anyway, and people are saying he's not getting buzz. Everything I've seen and heard is like awesome start in Tennessee. Like, they're thrilled beyond belief to have him.
Let's get to some sports nicknames. No.
Everybody knows the quarterback.
Stand by.
Okay. Do. There we go.
All right. Here we go.
Legends aren't born, they're nicknamed. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
Okay, we have the voting open in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region that we announced last hour. So just to recap, that's Mean Joe Green against Sweetness, Walter Payton, and the Intimidator against Smokin' Joe Frazier. So you can go to at Maggie and Pearl right now, and you can go vote. Let's get to the Flash and Fun region, where we did have a major upset in this region when the one seed got eliminated yesterday, Pearl. That was Big Poppy.
Crazy.
I know. He was beaten by The Fridge, William Refrigerator Perry.
Okay, that's a good eight seed.
He's up now.
Straight up this Monday night, Battle Royal, this man, the Refrigerator, William Perry from the Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears. In this Battle Royal, 511 pounds, 7'4½", Andre the Giant. Are the butterflies there? You thinking about Andre?
Oh, yes, I always think about Andre. Andre's the biggest, and I don't know if he's the best, so we got all of us going to have to get out there and you know, we're going to wrestle and stuff. I'm going to have to watch out for Andre so he won't slap me.
Well, there's a lot going on in that clip. I did not expect that. The Fridge wrestled Andre the Giant at one point. I need video.
Did they actually get into the ring together?
Yeah. Andre the Giant was part of one of the WrestleManias, I believe. And no. I mean, it's not Andre, of course.
The Fridge.
Fridge, right. And that was a big thing they were hyping up.
Who won?
Well, it was a battle royal. I assume the Fridge eliminated Andre. I have to check out the video.
Amazing. Okay. The Fridge is going up against the 12th seed, Beast Mode.
It kind of grew with me from Pop Warner.
Yeah.
You know, it was man, child, and evolved as I got a little older. And then, high school, college, and it just stuck. And now it's just like, you know what I'm saying? You see
it?
It's just everywhere.
Well, now it's a T-shirt. Yeah.
It grew up on me.
If you stick with something, it becomes a T-shirt. Kids, that's the lesson. But
Don't we know it? Merchandising. Beast Mode t-shirts. That's with Marshawn Lynch with Conan O'Brien. So Beast Mode and The Fridge going head-to-head. Pearl, the next matchup in the Flash and Fun region as we try to determine the greatest sports nickname of all time. Sixy, Dr. J.
I was there when he had that famous dunk against the Lakers. Literally stole the ball right in front of me.
It's going to be stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk. And the doctor made a sensational play.
I can't explain it. I mean, it was just like this intense release of emotion. It was incredible.
Pearl, I'll give you $100 if you can tell me who was just telling that story about watching front row as Dr. J did that cradle dunk.
Okay, so that was probably 82?
Barack Obama.
82, who would have been in the crowd? God.
I'll give you 1,000 guesses. You'll never get it.
Can you give me the field? Is it an actor?
It's a baseball player. A Hall of Fame baseball player. Who played in New York and L.A. Huh. You're never going to get it. Is it Mike Piazza? Mike Piazza? Who's in the front
Piazza
row?
Piazza is old enough to remember that?
With Dr. J did the cradle dunk?
Yeah, he was a kid.
I mean, Piazza, very famous Philly guy.
Dr. J, the 6 seed, up against the 2 seed in this region, the round mound of rebound.
So we went on a 2-day eating binge. We got up the first morning. I had like 6 pancakes, bacon. Wash it down with a vanilla shake. Then we went to lunch. I think I had like 4 or 5 pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, some mashed potatoes, some coleslaw. Then we went to dinner someplace. I had like a T-bone steak, had a baked potato. And then next day did the exact same thing.
That was Barkley telling Graham Benzinger, he went on a 2-day eating binge because he wanted to avoid being drafted by the Sixers.
But they do have some big old women.
That didn't work out.
That's not fair. Two of my favorites going against each other.
Well, Dr. J against Charles Barkley, an all-Philly matchup.
Charles worshipped Dr. J. You ever seen him talk about, you know, obviously a mentor to him. That Charles would sit down this one and say, advance Dr. J.
We're going to sit there to Gavison with that dirty-ass water.
Okay, quickly. We've got results for you as well. In the Legends and Legacy region of the Maggie and Perloff greatest sports nickname of all time bracket, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, easily moves on.
The great one.
Beat out the 12th seed, the Galloping Ghost. And the 3 seed, the great Bambino moves on.
The great Bambino.
Beat out the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, 64% to 35%. So it'll be the great one against the great Bambino in that matchup.
A lot of great. Elite Eight. It's a great matchup.
Yeah, it is a great matchup. So there you go. We've got voting open at Maggie and Pearl on X. Let your voice be heard as we are trying to determine the greatest sports nickname ever.
I got
to
look at the whole bracket. I would love a Dr. J, Air Jordan final matchup. Basically, all things coming up, Perloff.
888-710-4ISN. We're also asking you about the Giants quarterback situation. Can Jackson Dart, do you throw him to the Wolves early? Or do you ride with Russell Wilson, but you might be riding right off a cliff?
Thanks, Maggie.
I'm sorry, Manny. It's just the facts.
You know, the Yankees already got me going crazy. Now the Giants are going to have... When did the Knicks start?
The low lights from yesterday's Yankee game were pretty low. That team can't field to save their lives, but we've known that for quite a long time. Coming up, what do the other ACC coaches think about Bill Belichick joining the ranks? We've got that for you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. This portion of the show is sponsored by the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Don't miss out. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. All right, Maggie, college football. We're still in the Big Ten, right? Are they still talking? When is that over?
Oh, yeah. They're still talking through today. And the ACC is also talking.
Okay. I'm actually, I'm a little bit over people arguing about the college football playoff format. I'm actually ready to actually start talking some college football. Like, now that the media days are wrapping up, Like, are we ready to start, like, making predictions? I want to see some polls. I want to see talking about the players. Enough format, enough NIL. Let's get into some actual players.
All right, let's do some superlatives then, and a college football one. What was the biggest off-season acquisition for a college football program? So, I don't know if that doesn't really seem like a freshman coming in, although I guess you could go that way if you wanted to. What's the biggest off-season acquisition for a college team?
I mean, the reality is, especially if it's a true freshman, it's very rare for them to make that kind of impact. I'm going to go with John Mateer, the quarterback at Oklahoma. If you want to have a good time, Google John Mateer highlights at Washington State, and it's not because of his arm is good. His running is awesome. Talk about he's like, we had a nickname. We're doing a nickname bracket, and Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch. John Mateer's got a little crazy legs to him. He is electric. And listen, Oklahoma is... it is overdue. They better be good. I think he is a breakout star here, absolutely, following in the footsteps of Cam Ward, of course, transferring from Washington State. This is a guy I'm most excited to watch this year. And also, too, I think NFL draft, I'm not so sure that he's definitely going to be a great NFL player, but college player, he's perfect.
We're asking what's the biggest offseason acquisition. That's our superlative today, for both college. We'll answer it later for the pros. But I love you said you want a good time. Like, hey, sit back, crack open a beer, and watch some John Mateer highlights.
John Mateer highlights are a blast.
My biggest offseason acquisition, I hope you don't think this is cheating, but I'm going to go with a coach, and it's got to be Bill Belichick. I mean, this is such a huge story that has taken on so many different other elements and layers because of Belichick's young girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. But before this was a salacious dating story, this was a football story that was crazy. The fact that maybe the greatest NFL head coach of all time is not only going to the college ranks after being, you know, spurned by the NFL, but decided to take over the North Carolina Tar Heels of all places. So, really, really fun story. Definitely the biggest acquisition. I guess Gio Lopez is the biggest acquisition he made on his roster, the South Alabama quarterback. But without a doubt, Belichick has just spiced up the ACC in a way that we haven't seen since Miami was doing their thing.
There's something about North Carolina football. Always disappoints. There's no program that's ever had more violations and more first-round picks with less wins to show for it. Are we sure? It's like kind of being drafted as a quarterback by the Chicago Bears. Are we sure Belichick can elevate this program that is always, going back to Lawrence Taylor, been unelevatable?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Bears because we might see the turning point for both programs. Maybe Belichick really helps North Carolina on the football field, and maybe Caleb Williams, who's talking real big about throwing for 4,000 yards, the first Bears quarterback ever to reach that mark, and he wants to do it with a 70% completion percentage. And wow. I don't think he's getting laughed out of the building, by the way.
First of all, 70% completion percentage.
That's crazy.
That's like everybody now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
like
my God.
So like in the mid-60s,
the average
like
one is like 68%.
Else.
Like, they throw so many bubble screens. Like, that's... and Ben Johnson is going to have him throwing a million screen passes. Anyway, that's not the point. Bears have won before, though. Even though they have not a 4,000-yard passer, they made a Super Bowl as recently as 2006, and they won a Super Bowl. North Carolina is a cursed program, Maggie. And I meant the quarterback position with the Bears is cursed.
Yeah.
So I just like, that is a little bit of the reason I'm having trouble getting as excited as you are about Belichick. Like, if he could do it here, then if he can, he might make the playoff. Their schedule's so easy. If he actually won a title here, oh my God, I would be flabbergasted beyond belief.
So there you go. The biggest off-season acquisition, college football edition.
Pro day off by day.
Says John Mateer, the new quarterback at Oklahoma. I'm saying Bill Belichick.
Belichick.
The new head coach for the Tar Heels. Quickly, Sean is in Oregon, wants to weigh in on our nicknames bracket. It's going to be Air Jordan against Magic Johnson in a Elite Eight matchup. What's up, Sean?
Hey, thanks for taking my call to begin with. I just want to say, you know, if you got a great nickname, it's the name that people use with you all the time. I never heard anybody say, Air Jordan goes for the win. Oh, gosh, Air Jordan, he's the best player. But Magic Johnson, he just went by Magic. I didn't even know his name was Irving. It's like, since I was a little kid, it's the Magic this, Magic that. He's just, and that's the greatest nickname ever. I love Michael Jordan. And all his Airhead fans, but I'm going to root for Magic.
But I totally disagree.
Clever play on words there.
Totally disagree. It's become his name and therefore is no longer a nickname. I think some people hold that against it.
Air Jordan was a tennis shoe. Mm. Air Jordan was a tennis shoe. Magic was a man. 5 championships. Played every position. Arguably one of the greatest players of all time.
We're talking about the nickname. This is not a referendum on Magic Johnson. Like, I'm just saying, nobody knows his real name, so doesn't that become his name? Like, if you Google him, Magic Johnson is his name, right?
See, I'm kind of with Sean on this one. I think it's so good, you know, especially because you're right. Like, he became so synonymous with it, but how he got it is not just, oh, a family name. Someone decided, oh, we're going to call him Booby Gibson or something like that. Like, well, he earned Magic for how he plays basketball. And then it became so ubiquitous, it became his name.
Yeah, like Penny Hardaway. Like, I think there are guys like, I think you are out of the fun nickname territory. And that's just your name.
But Penny Hardaway, that has nothing to do with how he plays basketball. Like, Magic was about how he plays. It was his skill set that made him Magic. They didn't start calling him that at 5 years old because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll see what the voters say. Even, I hate to say it, my guy Dr. J, it's like, well, people don't even remember his real name. He was just Dr. J. I think, what if you grew up and you say, like, Mac Jones or Kool-Aid McKinstry? Is Kool-Aid McKinstry's nickname Kool-Aid? That's not his real name.
It is a nickname, yes.
It's a nickname.
Yeah. Or is it just his name?
You can go vote at Maggie and Pearl on X if you want to settle this score. Sean, thank you. Bogus is here with all the latest and greatest.
Guys, good to see you again this morning. Elijah Arenas has had a very bad few weeks. Gilbert's son was a 5-star basketball recruit and graduated early from high school to get to USC for the coming season. But then he nearly died in a fiery car crash in April. He spent a week in the hospital, which included a medically induced coma while he recovered from smoke inhalation. Now he may miss the coming season because of a knee injury that requires surgery. He's expected to miss 6 to 8 months.
I have a question about that headline. I saw he's out for 6 to 8 months with a knee injury. So he tore his ACL.
Tore his meniscus is the report.
Oh, is that why they're not just saying tore ACL?
Yeah.
6 to 8 months for a meniscus?
A meniscus, menisci, that can be bad.
I felt like Joel Embiid came back in 3 weeks. Like, I thought meniscus was the easy one.
Shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's one of the problems he's had, right? But we did this last year with J.J. McCarthy.
You right, I remember this whole debate. Like, do you go in and you tinker with it, or do you just rebuild it?
Yeah, I think the saying was always, if they just remove your meniscus or remove the part of the meniscus, that you can come back quicker, but that's bad long-term. If you repair it, it's going to take longer, but better for your long-term health.
My other question about this headline was, this is Gilbert Arenas' kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Oh, boy.
He's good, too. Yeah. This is a terrible story.
Yeah, it's bad because it makes me feel old again.
Oh, that exactly. too.
Makes you feel old.
Nothing will make you feel older than people you watching their kids now play at a high level. It's devastating.
It's also weird because Gilbert Arenas is such a hot take artist, and he's now in our media, too. So, have this media figure who's, talking about LeBron every day, whatever. And now he's like, oh, by the way, my son's now playing college basketball and could be in the NBA in a year or two.
And my son keeps telling me this story where Gilbert, I think on purpose, didn't ever discuss being an NBA player with his kids. And I don't know if it was Elijah or a different son, but only found out because his friend came to school in an Arenas jersey and was like, hey, that's my name. And the kid was like, yeah, it's your dad. Like, there's he didn't play up the fact that he was an NBA player.
He gatekept the fact that he pooped?
Something like that. Yeah, or didn't talk about how good he was or whatever. And so other people let them in on how good of a player their dad was.
That wouldn't surprise me only because Gilbert has done some unorthodox things with his kids in terms of their development. Like, I know he was big into, you're going to play at just some local high school. Like, you're not going to Sierra Canyon or one of these schools.
Montford.
Like, he's like, you're going to just play at a random high school. Because if you're that good, you're going to make it this way. He has a lot of unorthodox things he's done. But, it's worked up to this point.
I can think of one.
His kid's great.
I can remember of one unorthodox thing he did in the Wizards locker room.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Not that part where he brought the loaded gun in or the gun. But I covered those Wizards teams. I thought Gilbert's kid was kind of around.
Was it Elijah, though?
I don't know.
But I think he has multiple kids.
Yeah,
it's
but
like Dion,
it's
man.
This
how
is a
many
long
kids
time ago. No, they were, but he would have been a baby.
Right.
I thought the Gilbert's kids were around, but maybe I'm
he's
wrong.
He's only 17, 18
yeah,
years
so
old.
It wouldn't have been him.
It couldn't have been him.
Okay.
I also noticed he's really tall.
Gilbert's 6'4". Gibble's a big guard.
Oh, okay. I see him listed at 6'7", but he looks even taller than that. I saw a highlight of him yesterday. He's pretty big.
Yeah, he's a wing. He's like a shooting guard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But Gilbert was 6'4". Gosh, you're probably right.
He's a tall point guard.
Yeah. This guy doesn't look exactly like a point guard like Gilbert, though.
No, yeah, he's more of a wing. Buck could get it, though, just like his dad.
Poor Boston catcher Carlos Narvaez, right in the middle of the back-to-back catchers' interferences Monday and Tuesday in Philadelphia. But last night,
I'm going to step out for a second.
Last night, he made a good play with his bat.
2-2.
Swung on and ripped deep into left field. And is back at the track, at the wall. Goodbye! Homer for Carlos Narvaez. El Capitan puts the Red Sox ahead 9-7.
And they would win 9-8 in 11 over the Phils.
Because, and why did the Phillies lose that game?
Because they're the Phillies.
No, the catcher missed a pop-up, and the next pitch, like a pop-up was right behind home plate. Couldn't find it in the air. The next pitch, dinger. I hate baseball.
Hate it.
Losing baseball is more painful than losing any other sport because it's so slow and miserable.
Your team just won two games off catcher's interference. You can't. I told you it was going to balance
out. Our catcher
out.
Completely blew it.
I told you this is sports karma.
Your team swept the Angels. We're going to have a parade like the Knicks do here.
No sweep.
Hold on. Yeah. All right. Now the four of us have to gang up on Perloff. We haven't even mentioned the Mets in 2.5 hours.
It's in the air.
Is it in the air?
Yes. Wow. I could see Maggie walked in with a little bit of pep in her step. Definitely.
Did you see how the Mets won yesterday? Eric Bacchus, the home plate umpire, completely missed the three calls outside, called them all strikes.
That's a makeup for the Subway Series.
Not how they won.
Right. Well, I mean, tying run at the dish.
The Yankees lost last night, committing four errors in an 8-4 loss in Toronto.
Who cares?
The Jays again lead the AL East by four games. The Guardians top the O's 3-2. They've won 11-13. And the White Sox outscored the Rays 11-9. That's 5 out of 6 for Chicago. Arizona Cardinals first-round pick, D-tackle Walter Nolan III, missing the start of training camp with a calf injury from off-season training. Head coach Jonathan Gannon said they can't rule out Nolan missing the start of the regular season. And the Dolphins reportedly afraid that corner Artie Burns tore an ACL during their first training camp practice yesterday. WNBA last night, Atlanta, a 90-79 win in Phoenix. And then there's Sophie Cunningham. Caitlin Clark's enforcer is $500 lighter, courtesy of a league fine for criticizing officials on social media.
Stupid, or is it slow? Maybe it's useless.
Audio only. That's Sophie's TikTok with a Sabrina Carpenter song, Stupid, Slow, Useless. And the caption was, at some refs, and hence a $500 fine.
She got fined for a TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Public criticism of officials.
Wah, wah, wah.
But again,
do a better job, refs.
Or how about, I mean, a $500 fine is comical.
Well, I mean, respectfully.
In the WNBA.
Respectfully, it's the W.
That's what I mean, though.
A large percentage of her game check. Do you give a little leeway for creativity? You know, anyone can stand up in a press conference and be like, the refs suck today. This was going to a TikTok, finding that Sabrina Carpenter song, which is about a boyfriend, right? But anyway.
It's about men. I think it's called Man Child or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It's one of your, you know, I have no respect for men songs.
My playlist?
It's right up your alley.
You know, I think I have no sympathy for men. I never said I don't respect them.
Sorry,
on the air.
Sympathy.
just kidding. I think if it's creative, they should let it slide.
Maybe that's why it's only 500. Maybe it would have been a grand if it wasn't creative. I don't know.
They took this into account.
Maybe.
I think so. I think if this was not a popular TikTok, I don't think they would have known it happened.
Mm.
I think because it was so good, people were like, this is funny. They're like, oh, you think it's funny? $500.
Take that.
Go.
What does she do next? Do you, put another one out?
Well, she
did. To escalate this?
Her tweet yesterday or whatever her post was, I was just kidding. And by the way, we have more important things to worry about in the league right now.
Like what?
Oh, their
impending doom of CBA negotiations.
Yeah, their labor strife.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like she owes him another one. Let's see what the league does. It's like, remember how James Harrison, whenever he would get fined by Goodell, it would go up and up and up and up. And finally, these hits, he was getting fined like $1 million. I think it started at $100,000. It was going up and up.
With the new CBA, that $500 fine is going to become like $2,000.
I kind of want to see Sophie Cunningham v. the WNBA.
Well, I feel like she's making a lot of money now, but did she add like millions of followers?
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Yeah, and then people were like, whoa, she's quite pretty, right?
So very talented. That's what I care about.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure the internet.
Yeah, Manny's there for the articles.
Yep.
I don't even think he gets that reference because I don't think Playboy was a thing when Manny was growing up. Did you get that reference?
Soul-crushing.
I was there for the articles?
No.
You did not, yeah. It's okay.
Can you even read?
Very familiar. I can read Playboy. I can read those. Don't you worry about that one.
That was always the running joke about people would say, I read Playboy for the articles.
Oh, well, it's, you know what?
The magazines don't really exist anymore.
Those gentlemen, very sophisticated.
I always wanted to write for Playboy.
A lot of great writers did write for Playboy. Yeah,
you did, but they paid...
like in the 50s.
Gazillions. They were like $8 a word or something crazy. They were famous in the magazine industry.
Shocking. The money was pouring in for Playboy.
Hugh knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Hugh knew.
I mean, basically, the entire sports media industry for years, my old company, you know, lived off swimsuit issue, and now everybody lives off gambling. So, you know, at the end of the day, our vices are the most important thing.
There's a good message for the kids. Yeah. And with that, why don't we take a quick time out?
With your Odyssey Sports Minute.
Yeah. We'll come back.
If I had a body part anyone wanted to see. Wait, sorry, I have to do a THC read coming up next.
Not the Blue Chew? Little cold oil.
Let me see what I got here. Okay.
Does your thing point to the left? Adult toy shaped people.
It's all helping people. We don't discriminate around here. And if you'd like to sponsor this show, you are welcome to do it.
Deeper.
Coming up, what did Dylan Raiola have to say about upcoming expectations for Nebraska? We've got that next. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff show. Going to get you some quotes from Dylan Raiola, pro, who I think is becoming a household name in sports, definitely for college football fans. You know him.
I feel like his star is fading. It's interesting. Like, he came into last year with all the hype, and now he's kind of taking a backseat to some other guys.
Well, we'll get to the expectations and how he described his relationship with Patrick Mahomes in just a moment, but Randall is in Austin, Texas, wants to weigh in on the Cowboys. What's up, Randall?
I just want to laugh because I'm from the Bay Area, moved here,
okay.
Been off and on in the Texas area for the last 30 years and got to work for the 49ers as a catering director. But I'm going to say something. Cowboys aren't that big. I went to a game at the new stadium and it was 70% 49er fans at the game when they played with Garoppolo at that time. And yeah, God knows who he was. But it's just, I don't understand the fandom over the Cowboys because people here in Austin, they can give a damn about that. They love Arch. I'll give that to McLovin, but they love their Archie. They do not really give a damn about the Cowboys as much. They're actually more concerned with what Ryan's is going to do in Houston because they seem to see that's where the future is. And being a Niner fan here, you can go to any bar here in Austin. They're full of Niner fans. They love them.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's a high-tech town.
Yeah, right. Isn't that a big transplant town?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's all high-tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love it, and they love their Niners. But here's the other thing I was going to say to you, Perloff, is they do you know that they are on the road at stadiums? Zillow said that they are the number one team for fans to go to on the road.
The Niners.
Yes.
Interesting.
Fan-wise, like, they took over.
You guys travel the best.
I would have thought maybe Steelers or the Packers.
Steelers and Packers have great reputations for that.
Yeah, but it's
Kansas City Chiefs fans, too.
But you can look it up on Zillow, and it's the actual real thing, and I thought it was not. And then I watched, you know, I went to a couple of games in different cities, and I'm like, holy. I'm not the only one wearing red.
Wait, Randall, I've got a question for you. Well, also, we know every time when the 49ers play, now the Rams, like it's like a 49ers home game.
Yeah, but they don't even give us the zip code. We can't even go there.
Yeah, right. They don't want the secondary market. They don't want everyone from San Francisco coming down. Here, I have a question for you. You said you were working catering for the 49ers at one point.
Yep.
who was
I did it for during the Gold Rush. I got to see Ronnie Lott, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, Joe Montana.
Who was the nicest guy?
Out of all of them?
Yeah.
Be honest, probably Steve Young. Yeah. Steve Young and Ronnie Lott were the two. They were the two nicest guys. I always looked at Ronnie Lott like fear because he was like my hero.
Yeah.
But
okay,
but
flip
no,
side.
No,
who
no.
was who was the one who, you know, gosh, that guy. Who did that guy
that
think
guy?
He was? Yeah. Who was a little too full
who
of himself?
Was. There was a guy from the 1950s. They call him the Alley-oop or whatever. Perloff, do you remember this guy? He was they nicknamed him
the guy who blocked the field goal who jumped over. No, I don't.
No, not that guy from. No, not him. He played wide receiver for the 49ers in the early 50s and 60s. Alley-oop.
Oh, I don't know. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, look him up.
By the way, you were there with. Did you get Charles Haley? A little Charles Haley in nine?
Oh no! Charles was already on the Cowboys at that point.
Okay.
You don't. Yeah.
Okay. Wait, I'm gonna ask the question this way.
He came back.
Who was the most high maintenance? Someone was like, "Hey, can I get this? You know, and asking you for too many things, and like I want it just this way, and the, you know, who was just kind of a pain in the butt?"
Jerry Rice.
Who was it?
His nutrition diet was, he didn't want, like, he wanted all the salmon. So we give him the salmon.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I watched, they got Alex Smith was the quarterback. They drafted him too. And it was so funny because all the offensive linemen came in and said, we want 15 salmons. I'm like, what? I can't cook them that fast. I mean, and these guys would sit there and tear them up and then go, hey, we want the sirloin steak and we want this and we want this. And I'm like, you actually can sit down and eat that much food? But you get to know them though.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, all right, okay, guys. I'll get it to you. Just give me a few. Let me talk to my boys. We're going to get it all running. We'll get it up. But no, it was Ronnie Lott and Steve Young were the best. They were like the community leaders.
Yeah, and Jerry Rice was the most particular about what he wanted to eat.
Well, yeah, his dietitian.
His dietitian, sure. Randall, thank you. This has been enlightening. I'm sorry we're up against it. Appreciate the phone call and the perspective of working in catering for the 49ers.
Randall had an interesting point about the Cowboys. Have you seen the Oxnard is empty again?
Oh, I was, I meant to look at that.
So there is definitely this Oxnard where the Cowboys train. There's nobody in the stands. So there is this thing. It's this funny dynamic. It feels like Cowboys fans are losing interest fast. But the national media is still focused on them. So maybe the run is over. Maybe Jerry's not interesting anymore, Maggie.
Well, we asked you that question. Do you still find Jerry Jones interesting? That was from earlier in the week. But did you find it also funny that he said people were more interested in the Houston Texans, though? So it's like they've kind of just shifted their perspective over to DeMeco Ryan.
But then again, he's in Austin.
That's true.
So, yeah, I don't think in North Texas they're really interested in the Houston Texans. But, you know, the Texans have a lot of buzz. They're pretty good. We've been out of Texas a few times. There are Longhorn hats everywhere. And then the Aggies, there's 60 million Aggie alum. There's a lot going on there. But that is it. Why do we care so much about the Cowboys if Cowboys fans don't?
Well, I mean, we just go off of what do people like to watch.
And I say we, like everybody. Like, why is everyone outside of Dallas still as engaged? And I get it. I think he's right.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So we do have some Dylan Raiola sound, him talking about his relationship with Patrick Mahomes. Raiola is the starting quarterback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Lots of expectations on him this season. And we also have some enlightening sound from Joe Burrow. We got college football. We got pro. We got it all for you, Maggie Perloff.